The Senate will be in order. Will everyone in the Senate and the galleries please rise for the prayer by the Reverend Gock and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
From the 55th Psalm we read, "Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." Almighty and gracious God, we ask that you hear our petitions to you. You know we face so much in this world that brings pain and hardship. So we need your presence with us so we may know that there is hope and that these things we can do to provide help and relief for those in need. And so we ask that you give us those things which can only come from you and the wisdom on how to best use your gifts. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle-Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dixon, Igel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Hummel, Kehoe, Koenig, Kraus, Leibola, Munslinger, Nasheed, Onder, Richard, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schaff, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson, Whelan.
Senator from Andrew. Senator from Andrew is here. Quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session, 67th day, Monday, May 8th, 2017. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment.
Senator from Cole, what purpose you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
Senator from Cole has moved that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as fully read. Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none. Senator from Cole, you recognize close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions. Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a resolution.
Please send your resolution forward.
President.
Senator from Cole.
Can I
explain? Explain your resolution?
Thank you. For the benefit of the body, I am going to ask for a waiver of the rules. This is a use of the chamber resolution. We have approved this resolution already this year. It's for the Silver Hair Legislature. However, the Silver Hair Legislature has changed the dates they would like to use the resolution, and a change in date requires us to approve a new resolution. So, Mr. President, this is for use of the Silver Hair Legislature on October 17th and 18th. It's a longstanding tradition that this body would allow the use of the chamber, and I am seeking, with no objection, I would seek a waiver of the rules in order to take this up today.
Hear it. The Senator from Cole requests that the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking Senate Resolution 977 up for adoption. Hearing no objection, Senator, you're recognized for a motion to adopt the Senate Resolution number 977.
Mr. President, and thank you for the patience of my colleagues. I now move for the adoption of the resolution.
Senator, has your resolution been distributed?
Resolution has been distributed.
All right. You've heard the motion made by the senator from Cole. Does any senator desire to be heard? Does any senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from Cole, you recognize close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from moves that Senate Resolution Number 977 be adopted. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is adopted. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Hearing none, Senator from Cole.
Mr. President, would you inquire of the Secretary if there are messages from the House? If so, I ask them to please be read.
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read the messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that Representative Vescovo is replacing Representative Bondon on the Conference Committee for House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 111 as amended. Also, Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has appointed
the Senate will come to order. The Senate will come to order for the clerks to be able to do their job. Madam Secretary, please continue.
Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has appointed the following committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on Senate Substitute, House Committee Substitute, House Bills 90 and 68 as amended. Representatives Rader, Engler, Morris, Quaid, Wiesels. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed Senate Substitute Number 2, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 43. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading, and I'd ask that you call the calendar.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading. House Bill Number 288, Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please place that bill on the informal calendar?
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar. House Bill Number 151, Senator from Clay.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that a House Committee Substitute for House Bill 151 be brought before the body.
The Senator from Cole moves that House Committee Substitute for House Bill 151 be taken up for third reading and final passage. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Committee Substitute for House Bill 151 be read a third time and passed. And I have a substitute. I'm sending it forward.
Senator from the 8th, what purpose do you rise?
I guess to raise a point of order, because I think when this bill was laid over, I had the floor, and I think the proper procedure would be for him to withdraw his current substitute and then send the other one forward.
Hang on.
Senator, I stand corrected.
Senator, are you withdrawing your point of order?
I am withdrawing my point of order. Thank you.
Set forward the substitute.
Send your substitute forward, Senator.
And I move for its adoption.
And has it been distributed? And you're asking for a waiver of the
rules? That is a good question. I think it's been distributed, but I would need some confirmation on that. My guess is that the debate will take plenty of time. So if we want to just waive the reading and...
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived.
Okay.
And do you care to move for the adoption of the substitute?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the adoption of the substitute. Mr. President, this is the Real ID bill. Well, of course, last time we had this discussion on the floor, we were talking about Senate Bill 37. Today, we're talking about House Bill 151. The substitute is very similar to what we were talking about last time, Senate Bill 37. However, we have incorporated some changes that have come out of the discussions that we've had as this bill has moved forward. One of the things is... The senator from the 8th had asked for his Senate Bill 279, which I believe was a consent bill, to be added to this bill. So we have changed the title to Forms of Identification and included the senator from the 8th, Senate Bill 279, dealing with veterans' identification on the driver's license. This substitute also provides for criminal penalties for misuse of data or unlawful distribution, and it protects the personnel that are involved with actually processing the application so that there's not some accidental violation of the law as it pertains to the criminal penalties. We have added an amendment in 302-176 that deals with Social Security numbers not to be stored in any database accessible by federal or state governments except as otherwise provided. We have prohibited the use of RFID chips on the Real ID compliant driver's license. So again, that's not part of Real ID. It was part of the original promulgation of rules of Real ID, but they walked it back. It's not currently part of it. We are simply putting in the law that RFID chips will not be a part of it. And if the feds decide at some point in the future that they want RFID chips on it, then we will have to come back and amend our laws accordingly, and we can have this discussion all over again. Again, the senator from the 8th, 279, Senate Bill 279 is in there. We added a section dealing with voter ID compliance. Basically that...
The Senate will come to order. Senate will come to order for the senator to be able to explain the substitute. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. We did add a section on voter ID compliance. Of course, you know on our voter ID statutes that the state will provide an identification for you if you don't have one, and they will do that one time. This bill simply says that if the state is going to provide you a free identification, it will be the non-Real ID compliant card, not the Real ID compliant one. And then we made a change for the Department of Public Safety dealing with commercial driver's licenses and facial images so that they can be retained and used for valid law enforcement purposes, as well as federal compliance with CDL requirements. So again, the gist of the bill is that we are providing our citizens a choice, whether they want to choose to have a Real ID compliant driver's license or whether they want to choose not to have a Real ID compliant driver's license. This is, I think, the best path forward that protects everyone's privacy that wants it protected to that level. It doesn't force anyone to do anything they don't want to do. And will hopefully, according to the conversations we've had with Homeland Security, it will bring us into to compliance so that we don't have to have passports or passport cards or carry birth certificates or any of that other stuff if we want to get on a plane or enter a military base or any of that sort of stuff. So with that, again, we've talked about this issue quite a bit. I know that there are some amendments out there. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 8th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have an amendment. It has been distributed. I move for its adoption and ask for a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, do you care to explain your amendment?
Sure. This is the amendment we offered on the Senate bill on the duplicate fees. This amendment, like I said, is what happened when I offered it earlier. I was looking at the fiscal note, and I determined that the Department of Revenue was going to raise revenue through this duplicate fee. And if we are going to require our citizens to get a Real ID, I don't think we should be charging a duplicate fee at $7.50 to every Missourian. I think this is a good amendment. I believe that, well, I'll take questions. And Mr. President, I'd like to inquire the senator from Clay.
Senator from Clay, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 8th?
Yes, Mr. President.
Senator from the 8th, you may proceed.
Senator, I think we're back to where we were on the Senate version of the bill where you had to substitute with a few amendments in the substitute. But I know that we had this amendment distributed. We talked about it.
We did.
I believe that you spoke somewhat in favor of the amendment.
I think it's a good amendment.
When it was offered originally, I think it's an important thing that we do to not penalize our citizens that want a Real ID. If we're forcing them to get it, they shouldn't have to pay an additional $7.50. So with that, I'll be glad to answer questions from you have anything particular you want to say before we turn this over?
No, I mean, I support the amendment. I think the last time when we were talking about the Senate bill, I think it was the senator from Johnson that had raised the issue, and I support the amendment. I think it's fine. Be happy to vote for it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the amendment number one? Senator from the 5th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the handler of the amendment.
Senator from the 8th, you yield to inquire from the senator from the 5th. Senator from the 5th, you may proceed.
Thank you. Senator, I was reading the fiscal analysis here, so I didn't really get the opportunity to hear exactly what it is you're trying to do with your amendment.
So when you're looking at the fiscal note, the one I was looking at, it didn't have a page number, but in it, it talks about this fee and how it's going to bring in millions of dollars to the Department of Revenue, and I just don't think that we should be charging a duplicate fee. So you don't charge the duplicate fee if you go in and get your license renewed. It's only when you go back and you lose your license that you have to pay this fee, from my understanding. And so I just think that if we're going to say, hey, if you want a real ID, we shouldn't be charging the duplicate license fee, and that's what this amendment does. It eliminates them from being able to do it for a real ID.
So you were the handler of the voter ID bill, correct?
Correct.
And the voter ID basically would allow for those individuals to go to the polls with an ID, right? A state ID. Mm-hmm. And while doing so, with that particular bill, the state had to pay for those IDs, right?
Correct. If they
so hold on,
didn't
so,
have
so, so, but you don't, so with this bill, you don't want duplication of fees. But it's okay, and it was okay, to just throw away millions and millions of dollars for a voter ID initiative that you pushed. How much money are we spending on voter ID to actually pay for individuals? What did we put in the budget for voter ID?
Well, the governor put $100,000, I think, and then the Secretary of State requested $1.5. We gave him, I think, $3 for advertising of voter IDs. I don't know how much is in the budget for actually giving the IDs out. That was for advertising.
So, but the voter ID initiative that you pushed would cost the state, based on what the Secretary of State proposed, $1.5 million. And that was okay with you?
Well, I think protecting our elections is important, Senator.
So you don't think allowing for individuals to vote without an ID is not protecting our liberty?
I think that we need to identify who a person is when they come to the polls and vote, Senator.
So how much money are you trying to save here? Because you don't want to make sure that the duplications of fees are not in order.
Right.
So how much money are you trying to save as a result of your amendment?
So, Senator, my amendment is actually reducing what the Department of Revenue is going to collect. So
how
it doesn't
they,
save,
how much
it saves
the
constituent. It saves our constituents $7.50.
Totaling how much?
I think the fiscal note that I have in front of me is $9 million.
So you want to save $9.7 million
to be precise.
You want to save $9 million for duplications of
I want fees. To save our constituents $7.50 so that if they want to come in and get a real ID to be compliant and get on airplanes, they can do that without having to pay an additional $7.50. They're still going to pay for their license. Senator, they're still going to pay for that.
And I don't have a problem with your amendment. I'm just trying to figure out sometimes your logic and rationale behind things because, again, the voter ID, there was no signs of voter fraud. No one was going to the polls trying to vote with other people's IDs. There was no impersonation with voter ID. And you pass a piece of legislation that will cause the state to have to spend $1.5 million for a problem that never existed.
Senator, to be honest with you, I don't think
now you want to try to save the state dollars. I mean,
I'm not a proponent of spending a million and a half to advertise. Actually, I was a senator from the first that came in and said we should give the Secretary of State $3 million for that. And I don't think it's necessary. The way we set up voter ID, which is way off this topic of real ID.
Well, we're talking about IDs.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's germane because we're talking about IDs, period.
We don't have to be germane over here. We could talk about it. We could talk about.
No, we don't have to be germane. This is specifically germane to the conversation at hand.
Sure.
Okay, because we're talking about IDs. And I'm saying at the end of the day, you want to make sure that the state is not duplicating fees, which will in turn save the state dollars.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to say that I don't want the Department of Revenue to create a source of revenue by getting an additional $7.50 when a person comes in to get their driver's license to be a real ID driver's license. It's an additional fee that they were going to charge, and I take offense, and the senator from Clay has said he agrees with the amendment. We don't need to create a revenue stream because a person comes in to get a ID that is a real ID.
So you're saying that the
they charged this.
They would have charged. Tell me how it works.
They charged this. My understanding, they charged this. If you lose your driver's license and you go in to get another driver's license, they're going to charge you an additional $750 because it's a duplicate license. And so they're going to charge you this duplication fee. It's $7.50. It's my understanding of the way it works. Because they already have a license and they want to get a real ID, they are coming in and they're going to be charged this additional duplication because they've already got a license. If they would wait till renewal, my understanding is they wouldn't be charged this. That's my understanding.
Yeah, okay. So, okay, this is the last question here. So what concerns do you have with Real ID?
Well, concerns, it's privacy concerns. We've got a national, as a Republican, I believe in smaller government. This is growing government. This is creating a national database. And really a national ID, but...
Hold on. So you believe in smaller government?
I do.
So if or when minimum wage come up, dealing with the city of St. Louis, okay, where the St. Louis, they are a home rule city, right? And now they have passed an ordinance that would allow for them to increase their wages to some extent. Now, that's small government to me. Will you be willing to support that small government fight, government battle?
I believe that people, businesses that have come into Missouri and have invested in Missouri believe Missouri is going to have a cross-the-board minimum wage.
You just talked about small government. Now, what's smaller than a city when you talk about government? I mean, what's more smaller than a city? So we're talking about smaller government and not letting the big guys.
You're talking more about local control versus smaller government.
It's inseparable. I mean,
Senator, I would love to have that discussion. We're going to have a discussion on that minimum wage bill. I'm sure that's going to be long discussion because I'm sure that you are.
I support your amendment. Right. I just want to say
thank you, Senator.
But I just want to talk a little bit about your voter ID.
I hear you. I understand. I'm glad we got that done. Thank you, Senator.
And we're wasting millions of dollars on that.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment Number 1? Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Green, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to inquire of the senator from the 9th District.
Senator from the 9th. Senator from the 9th, you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from Green.
I do.
Senator from Green, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator, for yielding to my inquiry. That can be rather dangerous these days.
It is,
but,
I agree.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing exceptionally well. Exceptionally well. I had to share something that I received at 3:30 this morning.
Oh, wow.
My phone went off and I got a text that said, "You made the paper international edition of USA Today in Prague." It's a friend of mine traveling in Europe. Senator, it just got me to thinking how much fun we've had. There's been tension, but there's been joyous moments, and it's such a pleasure to serve with you. You know, as I've heard from folks in the hallways, they thought you had the better voice, and you certainly have a lovely voice. Certainly, since he said that.
Senate will come to order. Senate will come to order. Senators, you may proceed.
The rest of the text says, the voice is next. Strike while you're hot. If somebody's going to the voice, Senator, it better be you. You are in tune in more ways than one, and I guess we could call that the song heard round the world.
The Kumbaya song is still reverberating, right? It appears. As much as we didn't necessarily think that would be the case, it has. But it has been such a pleasure, of course, as you know, to serve with you as well. And
likewise,
I appreciate you.
Likewise, appreciate you, and I'm looking forward to the good things that we can do together, not just you and I, but all of us this final week of session.
I agree.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you.
Any other senators desire to be heard? Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from Green.
Senator from Green, you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 7th.
Absolutely.
Senator from the 7th, you may proceed.
Thank you. Senator, I just had a real quick question for you after that inquiry. I noticed that a lot of the press was saying that you were slamming your fists on the table and roaring, and you talked about Daniel lying down with the lion. So I just want to know, does that make you the lion of the Senate? Is that what that is?
No, quite frankly, if anybody was going to be the lion of the Senate, I would say that's probably the senator from Clay. I was driving in the Capitol the other day. It was Monday. And I looked up, those words are carved in stone down there, be just and fear not. Well, the first person that popped into my mind, of course, was the senator from Clay. I don't think he knows what fear is. I drive in the basement to park, and there he goes to his car and waves. So, no, I am not the lion.
So then what does that make you then?
Oh, Senator, it makes me think of an old Johnny Cash song. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. I pledged to the senator from Coal I wouldn't sing. But I'll just say the song was, I'm just an old lump of coal, but I'm going to be a diamond someday. A lot of pressure, a lot of heat, long time, takes a long time with me. But I am privileged to serve with a bunch of diamonds in here. So, yourself included. I know we've got serious business to do. The senator from the 8th has offered this amendment. I appreciate his statesmanship, by the way. This issue is something that's important to Missouri, to people on the street, and I know we need to get this done. So thank you for the
right now I'm accurate in saying that you're a lump of coal?
Pardon me?
Right now I'm accurate in saying that you consider yourself a lump of coal?
Yes. I'm just an old lump of coal.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other... Senator from the 7th, are you still seeking recognition?
To inquire the senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 7th.
If I have to.
Senator from the 7th, you may proceed.
Thank you. Real briefly, so how much does your amendment save?
Well, it's $7.50 per constituent. The estimate was there's going to be about $1.3 million, $9.7 million total.
Okay.
So what was in the fiscal note?
All right, thank you. Mr. President?
Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 23rd.
Senator from the 23rd, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 7th? Senator from the 7th, you may proceed.
Thank you. Senator, I know we're past the time for introduction of special guests, but it's never a bad time to talk about folks who come down and visit us with a little bit of time we have on the floor.
Well, and thank you, Senator, and I am as studiously studying the rules here as I am new, and I want to make sure that we don't introduce guests, because at the same time, it has been brought to my attention, and I have declined to introduce the former senator from the 23rd, who happens to be over on the side chamber there, because that would be improper, and I don't want to do anything that may violate the rules. So,
right. And I also have Ms. Faesla, who is visiting today, and I would not want to introduce her either to violate the rules.
That's good. I'm glad that we have respect for the rules,
What was the former senator from the 23rd's name?
Oh, that was Senator Chuck Gross.
Chuck Gross.
Yes.
Well, I hope everyone who visits the Capitol day is made to feel very welcome and enjoys their day in the Capitol.
Yes, I'm happy to see them, but we will not We will not have an official.
We'll not introduce them.
I understand.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment Number 1? Senator from Franklin, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, just to briefly get a clarification from inquiry from the senator from Green.
Senator from Green. Senator from Green, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Franklin?
I absolutely do.
Senator from Franklin, you may proceed.
Senator, I know, and I really don't want to waste a lot of time on this, but you stated that you thought that that song was by Johnny Cash. Are you sure about that?
I'm not.
I believe that was Randy Travis. For those of us that kind of know about that song, I believe that's Randy Travis that sang that song. I not want to discredit Johnny Cash, but I don't believe that was a Johnny Cash song.
Well, I don't know who wrote it. All I know is that I've had that song kind of rolling around on the inside of me the last few weeks, and I pulled it up on YouTube, and there was a video, and it had
it. Maybe it was shot, but Randy probably made it a hit. I would assume Randy Travis made it a hit.
My wife and my daughters will tell you that I know nothing of pop culture or, you know, like the who did what with the songs or the movies or that kind of sports.
Well, other thing that I would like to ask is, would it be appropriate if I addressed you as the lump of coal? Or would that be inappropriate?
Senator, you can call me anything you want. Just don't call me late to...
For dinner.
Roasted turkey, let's just call it that.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
President.
You.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment 1? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
The senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Buchanan. Senator from Buchanan, you may proceed.
Okay, so your amendment does non-citizen and non-severable.
No, not that amendment. The one we're on right now, that's the next one I'm going to offer. The one we're on right now is the duplicate fee. It's 0.07S. It was distributed yesterday, I believe.
Okay.
That's the one we're on.
So this one...
So right now there's ability for the Department of Revenue, if you go in to get a second license because you lost yours or whatever, to charge in a duplicate license fee, and that's $7.50. I looked at the fiscal note and I just thought that was outrageous that our Department of Revenue was going to get increase in revenue based on this, and so I offered this amendment, and Senator from Clay has spoken in favor of it. So is the Senator from the 5th, and so...
Okay, so right now if you lose your license and you go in and you get a replacement, there is the fee.
Right.
And now what you're saying is that if it's a real ID...
Person's going in to get a real ID, they can't charge
for the first time.
Yeah.
Okay, but I don't think your amendment says that. It says the Department of Revenue should not collect a duplicate license fee for issuance of a real ID compliant driver's license. So does that mean that 10 years from now, somebody has a real ID compliant, driver's license, and they lose it, and then they go in and to get a duplicate, now we can't charge the fee? Because that's what it says.
Right. That was not my intent. That was not my intent. I understand where you're coming from. If you want to do an amendment to the amendment, I guess that's in order.
Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you withdraw your amendment, offer up the next one? I'll walk over to the amendment table, tell them the problem, and maybe we can get you drafted up.
I think that's a great idea, Senator. I can do that.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 8th, what purpose do you rise?
I believe the senator from Buchanan has found an error in my amendment, so I would like that amendment sent back. And Mr. President?
Your amendment will be sent back.
Mr.
Senator
President?
From the 8th, what purpose do you rise?
I have another amendment, and I'd like to send it forward and move for its adoption, ask for a waiver of the reading.
Send your amendment forward, and has your amendment been distributed?
It has.
And are you asking for a waiver of that reading?
Yes. And I'm moving for adoption.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. And, Senator, do you care to explain your amendment?
Absolutely. So this amendment does two things. Number one, it would mark the every license of a person that comes to the state of Missouri that is not a citizen. It would mark on their driver's license or ID that they are a non-citizen. I think it's very important. This bill is designed to try to help make the United States safer. I think identifying who is a citizen and not a citizen is a good thing to do. So that's what one of the things it does. It also makes it non-severable. If something is found unconstitutional in here, I think that the entire bill should be thrown out. It does exempt, this amendment does exempt this portion, the non-citizen portion, because the senator from Clay had a concern with that part, but that's what the amendment does. I'd be glad to answer questions.
Does any senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment 1? Senator from the 5th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the handler of the amendment.
Senator from the 8th, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from the 5th?
I do.
Senator from the 5th, you may proceed.
Senator, this is your second amendment? You just withdrew.
Well, this is Amendment 1 because the first one, I think the senator from Buchanan might have identified a problem with it. I didn't intend it to never charge for duplicate fee.
Yeah.
So if we can get that cleaned up, and I think the senator from Buchanan came up with a great idea. We, instead of us stalling and waiting on it, I just withdrew that. So this is the first amendment, but yes, it is my second amendment.
So, you know, this just that just comes to show that sometimes, you know, we have these great ideals, but we don't think them through, right?
Well,
you know, and so, you know, because, I mean, I support your amendment, you know, and I supported the amendment because once it dropped, I was like, wow, this is a good idea, you know, to not have to duplicate those fees, right? But then you go into further conversation and dialogue, and then you say, well, what happens 5 years from now, you know, 6 years from now, 7 years from now? And so the senator who you were just talking to about from Buchanan, that can potentially be a major issue in terms of individuals who may never pay fees as a result of having one fee paid.
Well, this is a duplicate license fee, so it's not charged on every, my understanding, it's not charged on every license, Senator. So what he's saying is, in 10 years, I've lost my ID.
Right.
The intent would be for you to go ahead and pay that duplicate fee, which I don't really understand why that we have to do it or why the Department of Revenue wants it, but I can see what the senator was pointing at, and I'm, you know, he's a senator.
But, you know, I'm for, you know, trying to find any stream of revenue for the state of Missouri. You know, sometimes we have to think outside of the box when we're trying to generate new revenue. And I don't have a problem with after 10 years, if you can't find your real ID, you then will have to pay for another one. But listen, I have an amendment. That's what I really want to talk to you about.
Uh-huh.
I have an amendment that I just dropped.
Yeah, I saw that.
And basically, the voter ID initiative that you passed
uh-huh.
a little while back allows for free IDs.
Correct.
Right? And so in Section 1, there's a provision that basically states that if you have received a free ID, okay, you will not be in compliance with the Federal Real ID Act. Therefore, if you have a free ID based on that...
Hey, if we're giving you an ID to go vote...
Hold on. If you have a free ID, then you cannot use that ID that you received freely by way of for the purpose of voting. You can't use that to go on a plane now. You cannot use that to go into federal buildings. I don't believe that that is right. I don't believe that that is fair. I believe that they should have the option to use whatever ID they deem is acceptable for them.
Hey, I don't want to do real ID. I think this is a horrible bill. I think the federal government should repeal it.
But
so
think
I'm
about
all
it,
for
though.
It.
I mean, well, Senator, I almost called you by your first name.
You can call me my first name. I'm fine with that.
But the thing about it, though, this is bad policy. I mean, it's just bad policy because you're gonna say that those individuals who need an ID to vote, they are excluded from being able to go on planes. They are excluded from being able to go into federal buildings simply because they don't have a real ID.
No, Senator, we're simply saying that if you're coming to get an ID to vote, that it's going to be this version. If they want a real ID and they want to pay for it, they have every ability to do that just like I do and
but
everybody
why
else.
Do they have to pay for a real ID when they already have a voter ID? It's a state ID. to be able to go on a plane or to be able to go in a federal building.
So what we're trying
to do... What if those individuals can't afford... That's why you're giving them a free ID, because you knew that they were not going to be able to afford that ID. That's why you're allowing for the state to pay for it, because you know that there are people who cannot afford IDs. And that was what happened with voter ID. You said, okay, we're going to have the state to pay for your IDs. Why did you do that? You did that because they were not going to be able to afford the IDs. And so now what you're telling them is that, okay, since we're going to punish you now, since we've given you free IDs, if you don't have a real ID, you can go. You cannot go on a plane. You cannot go into a federal building because I had to pay for your voter ID for election.
You know, Senator, I'm all for the federal government repealing this 2005 Act. I believe that what we're doing with this bill is
Senator,
creating
two
classes of citizens, and I'm not comfortable.
Why can't they use any ID to go into a federal building? Why can't they use
any
ID?
That's federal guidelines. Those are federal guidelines. I'm just saying that if we're in this amendment, on that part of the bill, and we can get to your amendment in a minute, I believe that it should be, if they are getting a free one, they should get one that doesn't comply with Real ID. If they need a Real ID,
why? What's the logic behind that?
Because
what's the rationale behind telling people that if they have an ID that was free to them by the government, then they should not be able to go on a plane? What's the rationale behind that? What's the logic and the reasoning behind discriminating against people because they have a free ID that you enforced?
If they need a real ID, they have every right to go out and purchase
one. You're not answering the question, Senator. What is your logic? What is your rationale? What is your reasoning? I'm not asking you if.
I'm
saying why. I mean, what went through your head to exclude people because they have a free ID to not be able to go on a plane if they don't have a real ID?
My original intent was to make sure that we kept the non-real IDs at a reduced rate, because I think it's going to cost more for a real ID. There's a lot more that goes into having a real ID. So I believe that those individuals that have a real ID should bear that cost. So in an effort to try to save the state some money, I believe that the non-real IDs would be cheaper, therefore having this in the bill would be better. Now,
hold on, that didn't make sense at all. That was horrible. Let me tell you something, Senator. That was really poorly explained. However, again, I'm going to give you another opportunity to explain it in a more rational, okay, way. For me to, because maybe what you're trying to do is right, and I just need to get the explanation of what it is you're trying to do. I sincerely want to know your rationale behind this, because again, you passed the voter ID bill. You were the one that said that we're going to allow individuals who cannot afford to pay to get a state ID. And now you're coming back around and you're saying that, okay, even though you have a free ID, you have a state ID, but you cannot get on a plane if your mother died, okay? If your mother passed away and the only thing you have is a state ID, you cannot go to your mother's funeral. What you're saying to people, if a person needed to go to a federal, the Wayne Rights Building or any other building to get their marriage license or anything, you're saying to them that you cannot enter that building. That's not fair. That's not right.
So
it's really unacceptable. And I support your amendment. I support your amendment. Okay. I support your amendment.
I appreciate it.
You know, sometimes you just have to fall back a little. You know, just fall back. And allow for the right things to happen. And the right thing that should happen right now is for you to support my amendment, okay? And say, okay, I'll yield, Senator. Okay, I will yield to this. Because it's not fair. They should be able to use any ID. With that, thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on amendment number one? Senator from Clay, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you. To inquire of the Senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from Clay.
Yes.
Senator Clay, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. So your amendment here, this is .14S. This has got two parts to it.
Correct. Got the non-severable part with the exception of the making sure we put non-citizen on the driver's license or ID for individuals that are here in legal status that are not citizens.
Sure, and we had talked about that, and I don't have a particular problem with that, but I do kind of take issue with the non-severable part. So why exactly would we be adding a non-severability clause? What's your purpose here in that?
I'm just concerned that we're going to put some protections in here and potentially somebody will come along and try to throw out our protections that we put in, and then the rest of the bill stands. So what I want to make sure to do is there's some things that I'm trying to put some protections in. And I just want to make sure that the things that I hopefully will get in this bill won't be thrown out. And if it is, then the whole bill is going to be thrown out.
So the only way that something would get thrown out is if a court rules that it's unconstitutional, correct?
Correct.
So if you put something in this bill
and the other
that a
reason,
court finds unconstitutional, you think that that should throw out the entire rest of the bill?
And the other thing is I don't like the bill. I mean,
I understand that. I mean, and that's fine. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. I mean, our bills are severable by nature because only the unconstitutional part should be thrown out in most cases. And the only reason that you would put a non-severable clause in there is if you think something might get thrown out and you want the entire bill gone. And I think that's where you're at.
I've been very open on the fact that I don't like the bill. I have been willing to try to figure a path forward. With that said, I want to make sure that the things that we do put in here that are protected, that are important to put protections in for citizens, are kept.
But if those protections, as you call them, are unconstitutional, they should be thrown out. I mean, that's how our system works. And I'm afraid that the whole thing gets thrown out for some unrelated cause. So that is a concern for me. And so I'm going to offer an amendment to the amendment to strike the second half, because I don't think we should have a severability clause at all. I mean, the first part's fine if the Senate wants to put the non-citizen thing on here. But we've taken a lot of amendments in this process. I've put a lot of things into the substitute. There are several amendments I know you're going to offer today that are going to go on, presumably go on, that I'm not fighting you on. But I am concerned that we're going to inadvertently add something to this bill that might get the whole bill thrown out. So
I understand where you come from, and I'm a little bit taken back, and I say that because we met this morning and we kind of talked about some of the things we were going to do, and we were very clear with what path forward, and this wasn't mentioned then. So I'm a little bit hey, what's he doing here? Why do we even talk, I guess, is my concern.
Well, I certainly wouldn't be my intention to make you feel that way. I think every step along the way, when we've gone through the list of things you want to do, I've raised issues about the severability clause.
We shared this amendment with you earlier, and now it's all of a sudden, now it's a problem? Okay. I mean, I get it. I don't know.
Well, I mean, are you of the impression that somewhere along the way I said that the severability clause was okay with me? That I was, that was fine?
I think I honestly don't remember,
I'm not trying to ambush you here.
Right.
I think through
our discussions you were saying I'm fine with the severability, but not if you put the non-citizen in there, and that's why we came up with this amendment the way we did. And I don't know that we had a further discussion about the amendment other than the fact that we shared it with you.
So I think in context, my concern was I don't know the constitutionality of the non-citizen part. So that was one of the things that would perhaps cause it to be thrown out if there was a non-severability clause. So I guess in that context, I do appreciate that you've made a partial non-severability clause that if that gets thrown out, the whole bill is okay. But if any of the other stuff gets thrown out,
I think that we've been working with... others, and for the most part, I don't think there's anything in here that's in question. I just am...
Well, and I don't know that either, and that's, I guess that's my point. I mean, you have made several changes to this bill through the... I mean, initially, one of the issues that I raised was about adding your Senate Bill 279 to it and whether that changed the original purpose of the bill. And okay. And
I think it all deals with driver's licenses, but okay.
Well, we had to change the title to make it fit. And that's fine, but my point is you have offered several changes throughout this process, whether they are included in the underlying sub or whether they're amendments that we're going to discuss today. And I am just not comfortable with the prospect that if any one of those happens to be unconstitutional, that the entire bill gets thrown out. So that's where I'm at on this part of it. So the first part of the amendment, you know, is fine as far as I'm concerned if we vote it on or don't vote it on. But I am going to offer an amendment to take the second part out because I just don't think there should be a non-severable clause in this bill. I think that if it's unconstitutional, it should get thrown out. If it's not unconstitutional, it should stay. That's just my opinion. Mr. President.
Senator from the 8th, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President.
I'm sorry, Senator from Clay, what purpose do you rise?
Yeah, I have an amendment to the amendment, sending it forward.
Please send your amendment forward and has
it's
that amendment.
It's short and I ask that it be read.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
And I move for its adoption.
Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Silvey. Amend Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Substitute, House Committee Substitute, House Bill Number 151, page 1, line 6, by striking the quote, semicolon, end quote, semicolon, and further amend lines 7 through 15 by striking all of said lines and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, period, end quote, period.
Senator, do you care to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for its adoption. And again, very simply, this is just taking the second half of the Senator from the 8th Amendment out of it, which deals with the severability clause. Again, we are adding a lot of different things to this bill through this process, and I don't want to inadvertently let any of them get the entire bill tossed out. I think it's an important bill, and we shouldn't add something to it that wouldn't otherwise be there. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise? Senator, who are you asking to inquire?
Senator of the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, you yield to inquire from the Senator from the 7th.
Yes.
Senator from the 7th, you may proceed.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my inquiry, Senator. You know, by nature or the inherent disposition of the legislation, it is severable. So if a piece of it gets tossed, the entire bill doesn't get tossed unless we add a severability clause to it, which you're attempting to do with this amendment. And right. With as many changes as you have added to the sub, and with as many changes as you are attempting to add today, I think that adding a severability clause has to ask the question of why you wouldn't allow the inseverability to exist in its natural state. And that would lead someone to believe that if you're changing it as much as you are, that there could potentially be something in your changes that's crafty enough that might not be caught, that a court might catch later, and then you've tossed the whole thing out.
I see where you come from. I will tell you that I'm going to let the body decide on that amendment, on his amendment to my amendment. As I have some battles maybe coming on this bill, this is not one that is one that I'm willing to throw down on today. Right. So, I mean, we may bring this back up later on if other things don't go the right path. So.
All right. I just wanted to have a conversation about it with you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire the Senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, you yield to inquire from the Senator from Buchanan.
So,
Senator from the 8th.
I do. Yield.
Senator from Buchanan, you may proceed.
Okay. So, with regard to the non-citizen.
Yes.
I seem to remember in the back of my head that that's illegal to put that on there. I don't know. Have you asked anyone to see if it's legal to put citizen or non-citizen?
I don't think it's illegal, and we've worked with research, and I don't know that we specifically went out and asked anybody that it's illegal or not. I don't think it's illegal. I think it's, what we're trying to do with this underlying bill is protect citizens, and we do that through identifying if people are here. Why would it be illegal, Senator? Why would you think it would be illegal?
Well, there's something about that I seem to remember reading it in a news story, or maybe it was something that happened in Texas or Arizona or something, where it was deemed to be illegal to put citizen or non-citizen on a license. But I don't know. I could be wrong. But what I'm asking you is, have you checked with anybody other than just research to ask if that was okay?
I do not remember specifically going and researching this particular instance.
Okay. Then the next question that I would have is just operationally, does it not imply that the Department of Revenue will be determining citizenship status on people?
I think that was the underlying reason why we, a few years ago, passed a bill that said that you had to bring in your birth certificate.
Well, that was proof of legal presence.
Okay.
Okay, proof of legal presence is one thing, but whether or not you were a citizen, I can imagine that there would be situations that are kind of gray. That if somebody comes in and says, I'm a citizen, I was born in Panama, but my mom is a citizen. I mean, like, heck, we can't even decide whether Barack Obama was a citizen.
I think that's been determined.
I mean, I know, but the question is his mother was married to a foreign national, and, there's all sorts of different permutations there where that issue is argued. And so what I'm asking is, are we biting off a problem in expecting the Department of Revenue to, in every case, determine whether someone is a citizen or not? I'm just asking because I could foresee that we would be creating problems in certain situations where, okay, here's a 100-year-old woman who comes in. She wants a real ID compliant non-driver's license, probably. And they have to determine whether she's a citizen. And she was born, I don't know, maybe she was born some faraway place. One of her parents or both of them were U.S. citizens. She doesn't have access to that data. I can see problems. I mean, I understand what you're trying to do. Maybe it would be better to say, lawfully present or something like that. I'm just wanting to have the free and fair discussion. That's all.
Senator, I don't think there's anything wrong with that portion of the amendment. If you do, feel free to do what you want on it. I think that it's important to identify if a person is a non-citizen and if they're getting a driver's license. I think that most people, when you ask for an ID, it'd be helpful for law enforcement to know that.
Okay. Well, I would ask, why is it important for law enforcement to know that?
I think it's important for, citizens are, they have different rights than non-citizens. I mean, if somebody's here in capacity for, lawfully here going to school or something like that, I think it's important for us to identify who's here legally and
being a citizen or not being a citizen.
That's true.
That has nothing to do with whether you're supposed to be here or not, whether you're illegal alien, undocumented, whatever. Now, here's the question that I have for you.
Sure.
If the first part of your amendment turns out to be unconstitutional, then that will trigger the second part of your amendment.
Well, he's got an amendment to address that. Well, actually, to be honest with you, the way we did this in one amendment was to exempt the citizen question out of the severability originally. So, but the Senator from Clay has offered an amendment to my amendment to remove that second part.
I don't, and I fully believe that that probably will be successful. So then my underlying amendment would only be the non-citizen amendment part.
Okay, well, it seems to me that if you put citizen or non-citizen on the driver's license, it doesn't make a bit of difference to the law enforcement officer as to how he's going to treat this person. I myself don't buy. I got a note that says, Revenue Department says it is not to their knowledge to put non-citizen on ID. I don't know what, not legal? Not illegal. Okay.
So it's,
well,
it's
so
okay.
We have, somebody has asked the Department of Revenue, and it sure is not illegal. Okay, well, that's fine. I just, like, you know, I personally don't like that provision.
Well, I think one of the reasons I put it on there is I wanted to let, you know, right now we've passed photo of voter ID. So I think it's important for us when they come to the polls, if it said non-citizen, they obviously would not have the ability to vote at that point. So for that purpose,
okay,
it would
now
be
that's a reasonable purpose if it's going to be used in the election process. Now we're talking. I can see that point. That's a reasonable point. But then the question is, what if you have somebody who becomes a citizen? Do they just have to go and get a new one?
Yeah, just like if somebody gets married. Somebody gets married, they go down and get a new driver's license, or you move to a different state, or you want to change the address on your driver's license. You go get a new driver, and then you have to pay that duplicate fee.
Okay. Well, thank
you. Before you let me go, did you find out what the previous...
Yeah, they are working on that, and I left it up to them to figure out the proper language. So they're working on it, and they're going to get back to you. You've got a few other amendments, so there's no giant hurry here.
Nope.
Okay, I do have some other questions.
For me?
Well, maybe for you, since I got you. In the bill on page 4, do you have the Senate sub?
I do.
Okay. The bill says on page 4, look at line 15 and 16. It says, with regard to real ID compliant driver's license or ID card, mm-hmm. and then look at sub B, electronic copies, and it specifically says electronic copies mm-hmm. of source documents will be retained by the department and destroyed after the minimum time required for retention.
Right.
Okay. Are you okay with electronic? Oh, so you have an amendment that I'll probably...
Do.
Okay, now, I understand that under the Real ID Act, it can either be paper or electronic.
That's correct. Paper you have to retain for 7 years, electronically, 10.
Don't you imagine the senator from Clay put that in because it'll cut down on the fiscal note?
Probably.
Okay. But I was kind of surprised. I thought that you had worked with him and had that all worked out.
I don't think we have it all worked out. We have an amendment, and that will be the, I would say, the sticky part of the discussions as we go earlier. I will tell you that is very important to me, that it's not electronic. In fact, when I started my discussion with the Senator from Clay after spring break on a path moving forward, the very first thing I mentioned is that physical storage is something that is a line in the sand for me, if you will. It's something that I feel very, very strongly
about. That's a line in the sand. Okay, now, I heard you talking to the senator from the 5th about the business about providing the citizen for election purposes that it would have to be non-real ID compliant.
Right. That's the last part of the bill, right before you get to...
Were you the source of getting that put into there?
I was.
Okay.
That's why she's talking to me about it, I'm sure.
Well, let me ask you this. Does it cost more to provide a non-real ID compliant driver's license or less than a real ID compliant one?
Yeah, because, we're going to get to the source documents and how they're stored and the process. I mean, because right now, if you're not getting a Real ID compliant, they don't copy and keep your source documents.
I thought it had to do with it costs like $2 to query the
federal... I don't know. That'd be a good question for the Senator from Clay, if it costs money to query the national... I call it a database, but I have a friend that keeps telling me it's not a database. It's a state-to-state interchange, which to me is a database, because, I mean, they have access to the data.
Right. Well, now, my understanding was that doing the alternate method would save the state money, because for every non-Real ID compliant driver's license, it would save about $2, right, was what we heard. Well, if it only saves the state $2, then why not charge a person who wants a Real ID compliant one for elected purposes $2? That's all it's going to save.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. Let's not fool ourselves. The option today will not be there in the future. Let's be honest. This whole idea is to get us to move towards compliance and then change the goalpost. All right, the federal government will come back. Mark my words, will come back and take this option away. Everybody will one day in the future be part of this Real ID database. So whatever we do, if you want to say it's going to cost more and you're going to charge more for a Real ID, you're actually going to raise it on everybody, because it's going to impact us all. That's one of the reasons why I absolutely 100% hate this bill.
Okay, I understand. But, you know, we did elect the people to Congress who, you know. Anyway, I'm sensitive to the senator from the Fifth's thoughts on that matter. And so would you be willing to compromise and let him pay the $2 or whatever, you know?
If somebody wants to offer that amendment, I don't know that I would.
Actual cost. I mean, if it costs $2 more, let him pay the $2. That's reasonable, but a new driver's license itself probably costs maybe what? What's it cost for?
I just got mine renewed. It's $35.
$35. I mean, $2 would be at least better. Something for to think about that. Anyway, thank you for the inquiry. Mr. President?
Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rush?
To inquire of the Senator from Clay.
Senator from Clay. Senator from Clay, do you yield to an inquiry from Senator from Buchanan?
I do.
Senator from Buchanan, you may proceed.
Well, the Senator from the 24th found an escape route.
He's crafty.
Very. Yeah, sure it is. I mean, you can go up to your desk. It's your desk. I think she can. Anyway, Senator, I had just some questions. On the sub on page 5.
Okay.
Looking at line 23 on, and now it says, the Department of Revenue shall not use, collect, obtain, share, or retain biometric data. So now the key word here is use biometric data. Now, one of the things, because you remember at the very beginning of the session, we got into a room, we had the Department of Homeland Security on the phone.
We did.
And I kind of, like, got all that together. And you and I kind of sat down and we said, what is the real truth here? And it was the biometrics that is the big problem. I mean, that has always been the big problem in people's minds. They don't want the government having biometrics. So you remember that in the past, MorphoTrust, that company, was what we were doing was we were collecting facial images, digital images on everyone, sending it to MorphoTrust, and then they would take the newest applicant and take their image and scan it against all the others using their facial recognition technology program to ensure that there were not two driver's licenses issued to the same person under different names. I mean, that was the whole purpose of it, right?
Okay.
Okay, well, so I think I'm recalling that the Department of Homeland Security told us on the phone that Missouri could use an alternate method of ensuring that you don't have two different driver's licenses issued to the same person. Remember that conversation?
The purpose?
Well, no, that in order to comply with the Real ID Act, as I recall, that Missouri has to do something to try to ensure that we don't issue two different driver's licenses to the same person.
Yeah, yes, that's, I think that's part of the underlying purpose of the original federal bill.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's a bad thing. And so I can't remember what they said that we could do. I think they said we could use something like compare documents, or maybe it was signature or something. I don't remember exactly what method Missouri could use. Do you remember that?
I don't recall exactly from that conversation, but I do know that on line 27, it goes on to say the subsection shall not apply to digital images nor licensed signatures. So I believe that they would be able to compare them, the photo and the signature, to make sure that there's not a duplicate photo and signature in the system.
Okay, so according to line 27, you have this subsection shall not apply to digital images. Okay,
nor licensee signatures. Because, right, we have to sign. If you look on your license, you've got your signature printed on there.
Okay. Okay, well, then I've got to ask. Does that mean, then, that the Department of Revenue may use, collect, obtain, and share digital images? I mean, because if the subsection does not apply to that, I mean, the thing is that, you know, do we really want the federal government to have digital images of every citizen that could be, you know, used? Well, we now have high-speed cameras technology available. They can take a photograph of, or they could just be in real time, scanning a football stadium and know everybody who's in there. I mean, is that what we really want?
Well, I mean, I think I would argue that you can't use it for just willy-nilly any purpose. I mean, if you continue reading the section, it talks about the production, processing, or manufacture of driver's licenses or identification cards.
It says this subsection shall not apply to digital images nor licensee signatures required for the issuance of driver's licenses and non-driver's licenses, or to biometric data collected from employees of the DOR. Okay.
Right. So the biometric data that's not the digital photo or the signature would only be from the employees, you know, for their background checks or whatever they have to do, so that we aren't inadvertently screwing up the background check process, is the purpose of that. But then if you continue reading down, though, it talks about in order to be compliant for the issuance.
Okay, well, I guess that I thought that we didn't want to give the state of Missouri the ability to share digital images, you know, with the federal government. I mean, that wasn't something that I really wanted to do. I thought that we could issue the driver's license and they get like a little, you know, picture of it or something.
Well, there are, and I think there are sections in here to talk about too, there are, for certain law enforcement purposes, I mean, that's already existing law.
That they get a digital image of you.
I believe so. I believe they have access to it through the Mules system and others.
Or is it an analog picture? I mean, do they kind of like a... See, I honestly don't know. I guess any picture that's transmitted over the internet is going to be digital, isn't it?
Right, and we have central issuance that's not even in the state of Missouri, right? I mean, your license is now done in, I want to say, Georgia. I mean, so I don't believe they're translating analog film photographs. I think that they're digital photographs.
Yeah. Okay. I guess there's nothing that we can do about that. It is kind of chilling, though, to think that the federal government has actual digital photos, high-quality digital photos of every citizen of the United States. And they have the ability to do those kinds of things that we just talked about. Literally, the police could drive down the street and have a camera out and know where every citizen is at every point that they're passing.
I mean, I think they have the ability to query some of that stuff for specific law enforcement purposes. I am not under the impression, and maybe I'm wrong, but I am not under the impression that there is a massive data dump of digital images to the federal government just because, and that they have them at their disposal to do with whatever they want. I don't believe that's how the current law operates.
Okay. Now, just to move on, because that, I guess, it is what it is. We have to move on. At the end of the bill, starting on page 10, you've deleted some sections. And in the description of the bill on, you know, the head pages, it talks about deleting language. It says, with regard to firearms, there's something in there with regard to firearms. What did you do with regard to firearms?
I mean, my understanding is that when this was drafted, we were deleting the existing law that would be in conflict with, and we were replacing it with the bill.
Okay. Well, see, I didn't realize I hadn't seen the Senate sub, and so I just wanted to know that business about firearms, and I don't see it here.
Well, now remember, our state no longer has a centralized database of CCW. That has been decentralized a few years ago and put back in the hands of individual county sheriffs.
So, right. That's what you're saying. So, in other words, eliminate that section makes sense because of that.
Right, because of what we did a few years ago.
Okay. Okay, well, I think you've answered the questions that I had, Senator.
Great. Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Amendment Number 1? Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none, Senator from Clay, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Again, I would hope the body would join me in removing the non-severable language from this amendment, and I renew my motion.
Senator from Clay renews his motion that Senate Amendment Number 1 be adopted. Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Amendment Number 1 be adopted. As many as that opinion, that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. We are now back on Senate Amendment Number 1 as amended. Does any senator desire to be heard? Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 5th, what purpose do you rise?
Tim Carter, Senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from the 5th?
I do, but I think somebody might have a mic problem.
Senator from the 5th, you may proceed.
So, Senator, what just happened?
Yeah. That's a little different than normal. So what just happened? The Senator from Clay took this non-severable out, so the amendment is now just putting non-citizen on the driver's license. I think we got word from somebody in the Department of Revenue saying that's not illegal. So it's that would mean it would be legal.
But your amendment died.
No. The severable part came off. We are still on the first part of the amendment, which...
Got you.
That has non...
So we're still on your amendment?
Yes.
Okay, and so...
What's this?
Your amendment... So tell me this here. Is this the one with the non-citizens?
Correct. That's the one we're on.
Okay, so with the non-citizens... Why, again, did you feel a need to put non-citizens
I think the best thing to say is if we identify a person as non-citizen, they don't have the right to vote in the state of Missouri. So I think the best argument for me right now would be the fact that's you show up with a non-citizen driver's license to vote, obviously you wouldn't be allowed to vote.
So, I mean, you just come up with these ideals. Like, and, you know, I mean, what, I mean, they're not doing this in any other state that passed Real ID. No one is doing
Senator,
I mean, and I'm sure that a lot of people are, you know, concerned about voter fraud.
Senator from Webster.
I'm with you. I know
you're not allowed
concerned.
To walk between the senators in debate. Senator from the 5th, you may proceed.
Can I get my mic fixed, please? I'm sure that people are concerned about voter fraud like you. However, you know, individuals have looked at this whole voter, this Real ID, and it's been going on since 2005.
Voted on it twice, but since then we've rejected it twice, and it wasn't changed in Washington, and here we are. They're coming down and saying they're going to kick our citizens off of planes, and now we're being forced to capitulate to the federal government.
Well, the federal government trumps what we do here, even though we have a little wiggle room to be able to do what we will according to our Constitution. However, I don't think that this is a good policy here, being able to put non-citizens on IDs, because basically what you're creating now is another level of profiling. I think you're creating another level of profiling. You already have Donald Trump, or whoever you call this man, who's basically, going after immigrants. And what you're doing is only making it easy for Donald Trump to do his bad deeds. So every time an individual gets stopped and they say, let me see your ID, and then they see non-citizens on the ID, what do you think is going to happen next? What's the next level they're going to go to?
They're going to run
a database, the database that you don't like people running. They're going to run a database, and they're going to look at the Patriot Act and see where, if these individuals are, legally or illegally in the United States of America. And it's going to be a lot of people that are legally here that's going to be profiled, simply because you put on this here ID non-citizens. I mean, I think that you have to think about what you do before you do it. I mean, these are unintended consequences for people that are legally here to be profiled and even punished to some extent simply because they have a non-citizen ID here in the state of Missouri. They shouldn't have to go through that. They shouldn't have to go through having an ID. Once they're pulled over, they say, okay, yeah, this is non-citizen. Let me check and see what's going on with that citizen now. Let me see if he's legal or non-legal. And if he is, I'm going to waste a lot of his time. I'm going to run him through the database to make sure if he's legal or unlegal. I mean, that's simply profile. And then comes out that person is legally here. But simply because you put non-citizen on there, they have to go through that. Why do you have to put them through that?
I think it's important. We passed voter ID last year. I think it's important for we identify people when they get to the polls if they're citizens.
But there is no other state who's dealing with the Real ID issue to come up with some buffoon ideal like this. This is outrageous.
I don't know that that it's not the case. It hasn't happened in other states.
Not happening in no other state where they have the Real ID with non-citizens on there. And you know what? The senator from Buchanan, he's probably right. This is probably unconstitutional. So I think what you're trying to do is put a poison pill on this bill to kill it.
Well, we take the severability out, and we are actually in our amendment we had it non-severable anyways because there were some concerns. So, okay.
Yeah, this is bad. I'm just asking that the body vote against this amendment because this is another form of profiling that shouldn't even be a part of this bill. I mean, we're letting the whole ideal is to give immigrants the opportunity to get IDs, to make it easier for them to those that doesn't have Social Security cards, make it easier for them. Being that they're not citizens, make it very easy for them to get IDs, right? This was not intended for them to be profiled, okay? And so and that's what you're doing now. You're causing another level of racial profiling, and it's not good. And I'm just going to vote against it. And I hope that the body follow my lead in doing the right thing and voting against it as well. You're not a bad person. You just have bad ideals. Thanks.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, do you yield to the inquiry of the senator from the 13th?
I do.
Senator from the 13th, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. My ears, my interest got piqued. So what are you trying to do here? The amendment now that's been amended by the senator from Clay would just allow the Department of Revenue to put non-citizen on the driver's license. So
that would require.
These are folks that already have Social Security cards in our country. Yes, they do. Whoever said that, my son-in-law has a Social Security card. He also has a card that allows him now this week to work in this country. And so your amendment would require that his driver's license, that he couldn't apply for, oh, by the way, until that card came in last week. He has to write non-citizen on his driver's license,
Department
and I've got to tell you, I agree with the senator from the 5th, because it is profiling. I have watched somebody live in my house for 5 months that will not go and even take the driver's test for fear that, or drive a car for fear that he will be yanked out of his automobile. He has the ability to drive right now on his Colombian driver's license, but he won't get one in this state, and he won't put his kids in the car and take them to the park unless his wife is around and available to drive him because of the laws we have now and because of the political atmosphere of this country.
Senator,
and now
Senator,
you want to mark his Senator, driver's license that I'm going to take him to get next Tuesday.
Senator, I know you are really passionate about this.
Very as passionate as the senator from the 5th, but she's probably more passionate about it than I am because she's very familiar with racial profiling.
Senator, I can see how much this is important to you, mm-hmm. and I'm going to withdraw the amendment.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 8th, what purpose do you rise?
Please send that amendment back, Mr. President.
That amendment will be sent back. Senator from the 8th, what purpose do you rise?
I have an amendment.
Please send your amendment forward, and has your amendment been distributed?
I hope it has. I got it from the senator from Buchanan. Maybe it has not. Oh, it has? I already did. So I move. I think it's been distributed. I move for the waiver of the reading. I move for its adoption.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived on Senate Amendment Number 2. Senator, do you care to proceed with your explanation
sure.
of your amendment?
Yes, Mr. President. Mr. President, this is the duplicate fee amendment with the correction from the senator from Buchanan. I think he found an error. We obviously didn't want to prevent them from getting duplicate fees in the future. So the first time, they would not have to pay the duplicate fee, but every time after that, if they lost their ID, they'd have to pay it. So it fixes my error in my first amendment. But this is a duplicate fee amendment that has been talked about previously. I move for its adoption. I'd be glad to answer questions.
Does any senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment Number 2? Senator from Clay, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. So briefly inquire the senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Clay?
I do.
Senator
Thanks.
From Clay, you may proceed.
Can I get a copy of this? I don't know if it's, I don't think it's been distributed yet.
Okay.
But I would like to at least see. Can you walk me through the change? I missed your inquiry with the senator from Buchanan as to what the technical issue was.
Right. You missed the, okay, so he was concerned that a person that came down 10 years from now and went to got a new ID that they wouldn't have to pay a duplicate fee because the intent would only be for the first time. So
I gotcha.
He went over and basically that's what's codified in the amendment. It's just the duplicate fee amendment. There's nothing else on it. But I'd be glad to have somebody run this over to you so you could.
Yeah, I think I understand now. So the way it was drafted, it was open-ended. So after you got your real ID, when it expired, or
you lost it.
You lost it.
So you went down and got your real ID. Then you, jumped in the lake with it and lost it. You could go back and get it, and you wouldn't be charged that duplicate fee. That wasn't the intent of the amendment. The intent was the original with the duplicate fee.
Gotcha. So looking at it, it basically just says, if you're going from a non-compliant to a compliant, and that would be the cause of the duplicate fee, you don't pay the duplicate. I think it's great. I think it's fine. Cleans up exactly what you said it does. So I support the amendment. Thank you, Senator.
distributed.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment Number 2? Senator from the for the body to know that amendment has not been distributed. We're waiting for it to be distributed. Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, you yield to an inquiry from Senator from Buchanan.
I do.
Senator from Buchanan,
I just
proceed.
Thought that while we wait for that to be distributed, I might ask you another question or two. Because we have to wait for that to happen.
Yeah, so. I had it worked out where my chief of staff was distributing amendments one at a time, so obviously that one hadn't gotten to him.
Okay, so now, if I have a driver's license and I get it today, and the Real ID Act goes into effect tomorrow.
It won't.
Okay, now let's just say that it did. Okay, let's say whenever I get my license, and then following that, the Real ID Act goes into effect. Do I need to go and get a compliant ID in order to get on an airplane? Or will the federal government deem the one that I have until it comes due to get renewed, is that one deemed to be compliant?
You know, I think those are better questions for the bill sponsor. I can answer them, but quite frankly, that's not my realm here. That's his realm.
Well, I just wanted to know, because if the federal government says, no, we're not going to give you any grace period, then I really feel like the state of Missouri ought to pay for my duplicate ID. I mean, I shouldn't have to pay another $35. And so I just wondered, do you have an amendment that executes that? Or
I do not have an amendment that executes that.
Maybe the senator from Johnson has an amendment, or somebody did, I thought. But let me just inquire of the senator from Clay. Mr. President?
Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire of the senator from Clay.
Senator from Clay, do you yield to the inquiry from the Senator from Buchanan?
I do.
Senator from Buchanan, you may proceed.
You heard my question.
Actually, I was reading amendments.
Okay.
Okay,
well, so let's just say that I purchase a driver's license under the current system. Then the Real ID Act becomes law, and then January, whatever comes along. Will I be able to get on an airplane using my current ID that's really got another 3 years left on it, or however long? Will the federal government allow me to use that?
So perhaps you remember from our conversation with Homeland Security,
yes,
when we had them on the speakerphone, their practice has been that when a state moves forward with legislation authorizing compliance to grant an additional extension to allow for that compliance to take place. So while they did not promise to us that we would get such an extension, they have given one to every other state. So we are operating under the understanding that if we pass this bill, that there will be some extension for current licenses to continue to work based on our conversations.
Okay, should we have a provision in the bill that says that if the federal government reneges on the conversation that they had with us, that citizens won't have to pay for a compliant ID in order to get one?
Well, I think that's what the amendment just did, or that's what this underlying amendment
no,
does,
the,
right?
The amendment that we're looking at now only has to do with purchasing or paying for a duplicate ID when you've lost or having had one destroyed. That's all that amendment is about. It has nothing to do with anything other than that.
I'm not sure.
See, look at lines 3 and 4 of the amendment. In the event that a license issued under this section shall be lost or destroyed. See, we're not talking about the case that I was just now discussed. It's a different case. I just don't think that if I buy a driver's license and I'm expecting it to last for 3 years, that if the federal government doesn't grant us an extension, that I should have to pay another $35 to get the second one.
You see what I'm saying? If it's the right will of the body to take our chance, that's one thing. But I thought that the senator from Johnson had an amendment that would do that.
Yeah, and I think maybe he did when we were discussing Senate Bill 37. I'm not sure if now the senator from the 8th was taking that issue on himself.
No, he has. There isn't one dropped here.
Now, I'm not sure what the senator from Johnson has distributed.
Well, he did distribute 1.13S.
But anyway, follow what you're saying, and I think the intent, and maybe we need to amend the amendment or work to get a different amendment crafted with the senator from the 8th. But the idea, I agree with you, if you're taking your non-compliant license in to get a compliant one for the purpose of obtaining a compliant one, not because you had lost the previous one, I think that was the intent of what the senator from Johnson wanted to do on Senate Bill 37, was
I'm
to eliminate
sure
that.
I'm not sure that this amendment does that, though.
And I think you might be right. It might not do that. So I think that working to make sure that the language does do that is probably what...
Well, this is a real crucial issue, and it's probably something that we could handle pretty simply, but I just was curious. Thank you for the inquiry, Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you rise?
I'd like to inquire of the senator from Cole. He's walking away from his microphone. There he goes.
Senator from Cole, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Buchanan?
I do.
Senator from Buchanan, you may proceed.
Senator, I'm just curious as to what your plan is, if we're going to take a lunch break or whatever, because I do want to make sure that we get this one issue hammered out, and I don't just kind of like to know how much time.
I usually check in with the bill sponsor. I'd probably like to do that, but...
Are you thinking that we might take a couple hours and go have lunch or...
A couple hours? I'm not a doctor. I've never been able to take a two-hour lunch break.
Well,
but
whatever.
Yes, Senator, to answer your question, I just wanted to add a little levity to our conversation.
Cool. Yeah.
My intention was to take a lunch break at some point in time.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Clay, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire of the senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, do you yield to an inquiry from the senator from Clay?
I do.
Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I don't know if you followed the inquiry we just had, Senator Buchanan and I, but is it your intent that if someone goes in, they have not lost their card or has not been destroyed, but they go in simply to transition from the non-compliant to the compliant, that they not pay the duplicate fee? Because that was I thought that's what we were trying
yes.
to do.
Okay. It did not deal with, they still have to pay for the driver, the license,
but not
so it's not
going to
be free by any means. It was just the additional fee of the duplicate fee on that one.
Okay, so what the senator from Buchanan was pointing out in the amendment was that because up on lines, starting on line 3, really on line 4, this particular section, 302.185, says shall be lost or destroyed, or when a veteran seeking designation. So the section that it's put in doesn't contemplate the idea of just going in because we're trying to transition from non-compliant to compliant. So I think our inquiry kind of highlighted that if that's the intent, which I think it is, and I think that was the discussion we had, we might need to either amend this to specify that or draft another amendment to make sure that happens.
I want to get it right. I'm not in a big hurry, so I can withdraw this amendment. I've got another amendment to offer, and we can work on this during lunch. And because we have good staff, and I think that everybody had – there's a lot of amendments moving around, and so I think it's great that the senator from Buchanan is doing his due diligence
He's
to make
sure
–
He's very good at catching drafting issues,
yes.
And I think that he may have found one here.
All right.
If we want
I will
to
withdraw
talk
this
about
and offer my next amendment.
Mr. President.
Senator from Clay, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, would you lay this on the informal calendar?
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would,
Would you inquire from the Secretary if there are messages from the House? If so, I'd ask them to please be read.
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read those messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to recede from its position on House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 302 as amended and grants the Senate a conference thereon. Also, Mr. President, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has appointed the following committee to act with a like committee from the Senate on House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 302 as amended. Representatives Ruth, Roan, Miller, McCreary, Beck. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to adopt Senate Substitute for House Committee Bill 3 and requests the Senate to recede from its position and, failing to do so, grant the House a conference thereon. Also, Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House refuses to adopt Senate Substitute for House Committee Bill 3 and requests the Senate to recede from its position and, failing to grant the House a conference thereon. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Kremlis, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, I'd ask the Senate to go to order business of reports of standing committees, and I'd ask you to recognize me for a report.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports from standing committees.
Thank you,
Senator
Mr. President.
Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
I have a report. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics.
Please send your report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred House Committee Substitute for Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 160, begs leave to report that it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been duly enrolled and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully submitted, Senator Kehoe, Chair.
Senator from Cole, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, for the benefit of the body, Jason Rosenbaum from St. Louis Public Radio has been granted permission to take photo and video in the Senate chamber today.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from Newton, what purpose do you rise?
I have some conference committee appointments, and I'll send it forward and ask to be read.
Please send your appointments forward. Madam Secretary, please read the appointments.
Conference Committee appointments on House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 302 as amended. Senators Whelan, Emery, Cunningham, Walsh, Nasheed.
Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements. Announcements? Announcements. Hearing none, Senator McCullough.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body, and with input from the Senator from Cape Girardeau County, I move the Senate stand in recess until 1:15 this day.
Senator from Cole moves that the Senate stand in recess till 1:15 this day. All those in favor of that motion say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand in recess till 1:15 this date.